This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Across the country, companies that switched to working remotely during the pandemic are starting to bring employees back into the physical workplace. But not everything can go back to the way it was before the days of COVID-19, and not everybody wants to go back into the office. We're looking at the challenges the transition is bringing for employers and employees with a look at how some companies are handling the move. Emma Goldberg is a reporter covering the future of work for the New York Times. She's been writing a lot about this lately. Emma, thanks a lot for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me on the show.
Well, of course, not all workplaces went remote. A lot of them couldn't. How extensive, though, was remote working over the last couple of years?
It's a great question. It started out, you know, at the height of pandemic lockdowns in May 2020, about a third of American workers were working from home because of COVID. So it was about 35%. As of last month, that's down to about 10%. So it's declined pretty significantly. But that's still, you know, a lot of people, like 16 million or so people.
And because a business goes back to in-person, reading your reporting, that doesn't mean they're going back to, you know, 9 to 5 every day or whatever for their office workers. Can you talk about some of the hybrid models we're seeing?
A lot of businesses are taking those hybrid approaches. So they're saying that they want to see their workers back in the office maybe 3 days a week, maybe even 1 day a week, but they're still giving people that flexibility to have some days each week that they're working from home. And part of that, I think, is attributed to the labor shortage. Businesses are pretty desperate to hire right now. And because there are a lot of businesses that are offering some degree of flexibility, you know, there's an effort to match that and to take the hybrid pathway to doing so.
You heard from, let's start with the employees, first of all. Some people real excited to get back into the office, some people much less so. Can you talk about the range of opinions you heard from people?
There are strong emotions on all sides, but I think one of the most strongly argued perspective that I heard about wanting to retain the flexibility comes from working parents who just feel that right now they have a lot more flexibility to handle school pickup, to get their kids out the door in the morning without having to rush off to the office. So there's just a lot more flexibility. And I think people are realizing that the office wasn't so much designed to suit the needs of caregivers. On the other hand, I think you're also hearing a lot of young workers who are craving the camaraderie and the mentorship that came from going into the office.
Now, one thing that struck me reading your recent reporting, Emma, about that camaraderie angle. Some people, as you say, really excited about that. Some people like, yeah, there was a lot of camaraderie for other people for one reason or another. I felt left out. I'm loving being at home. Can you talk about who you heard that from?
Definitely. You know, a lot of people said that they are glad to not have to deal with the office politics, with the clickiness, with the bullying. And I did find that research is indicating that that perspective is disproportionately women and people of color. So, you know, 86% of Hispanic and 81% of Black knowledge workers said they preferred hybrid or remote work compared with 75% of white workers. And a lot of them were saying that's because, you know, they don't have to deal with the microaggressions that came from being in the office.
On the employer side of things, why are employers who have been remote or hybrid for a while, why are they wanting to see their workers come back into the office?
Well, something I heard from a lot of executives I spoke with is that it feels like this is a real juncture moment where if they don't get people back in the office to some degree now, they fear they might never be able to do so because already, you know, the flexibility is calcified. People are so used to having to being able to cobble together their own work days and schedules now. So I think people feel like it's a little bit of a do or die moment for RTO. And I think they also feel like there is something missing in the collaboration and the energy that people get from the office. When they see their coworkers, they feel connected. They can bounce around ideas. There's something in terms of inspiration that goes missing when people are just slacking each other all day.
We're talking to Emma Goldberg from the New York Times about RTO, return to office, the trend of people, those who are able to work from home, who've been working remotely over the last couple of years, coming back to the office or not in some cases. Emma, you've also written about the idea that employers and managers are wondering, you know, if my people are working remotely, do I need to take attendance? Or is there a rethinking saying, yeah, we don't care if you're at your desk at these particular times as long as the job's getting done?
That's a tough question for managers right now, because I don't think almost any of them want to be standing there with a clipboard checking off names to see who's sitting at their desk on Wednesday morning. I think workers and their managers would really bristle at that. And on the other hand, you do have companies that are starting to check badge swipe data because they want to see at a broad level whether people actually are going back to the office if they say they will.
Yeah, and I've read that there's, you know, more and more software on the market so that wherever an employee is, you can know what they're doing and when they're using the computer.
So there is, you know, a real boom of what people are calling bossware, which is a software that allows managers to keep close tabs on their workers. And in some cases, that's also being used to kind of take attendance in some way. So, for example, they'll use systems that tell them if a worker reserves a desk and then doesn't show up and use it.
Is there any kind of consensus forming, Emma, on whether workplaces worked better, worse, equal when people were working at home versus when everybody was at the office?
I think what a lot of workers are arguing is that the work product speaks for itself. So, you know, businesses have kept humming along, the economy is really strong, and people are saying, you know, that's because people have been productive when they put together their own workdays. So about 80% of people surveyed said that they were just as, if not more productive, doing hybrid or remote work than they were in the office. I think where you start to get hear more worries is from businesses that cater to people who are going into their offices. So restaurants who, you know, make a lot of their business on lunch, transportation systems. I think that's where people are arguing that there's a real loss from work from home models.
Another angle here is that people are starting to realize, yeah, when I was at home, I didn't pay as much for my lunch, my coffee, my gas, you name it. And now there's some inflation making those things maybe sting a little more. What did you hear from people about that?
Definitely. I heard from some workers who have gotten real RTO sticker shock because gas prices are up. You know, Square data is showing that the cost of wraps and salads and other fast casual food is way up because of inflation. And so you're hearing a lot of workers say that if their bosses are going to expect them to be back in the office, they want to see stipends on transportation or on food or on coffee. And you're seeing a lot of employers respond to that by trying to throw in some RTO perks to sweeten the deal. Even, you know, things like Lizzo performances or cornhole or wine tastings or barbecue. Offices are realizing that they're going to have to earn the commute because the commute is more expensive than it was back in February 2020.
If my bosses are listening, can we hook that up, that Lizzo performance here at the
right?
studio? Yeah, I'll hold my breath on that one. So let's name some names now. You looked at some companies who are saying, yeah, we're going to, you know, we might not go all remote all the time, but some big companies are changing their plans for the future. What did you hear from some particular big names that are out there?
Definitely. Well, you know, on Wall Street, business is booming. Goldman Sachs and JP Morgan have both called employees back to the office. So has Citigroup. And you're also seeing some Wall Streeters start to break from their peers and offer a little bit more flexibility. So, for example, BNY Mellon has introduced a more flexible work arrangement. And same with TIAA, an investment firm. And you're also starting to see some of the tech giants bring workers back, including Meta, Microsoft. So even, you know, Silicon Valley is starting to say it's time to log in from the office.
Have you seen big names not go that way as much or say yes back a little bit, but not all the time?
You do have some examples of companies that have gone permanently remote. Zillow, for example, Salesforce, PricewaterhouseCoopers, they've all told a lot of their employees that, you know, school's out forever equivalent. They can work from wherever they want.
Has just with this precedent now, because I think I saw in the past some people, some workers who want to work remotely complaining, businesses saying, yeah, it's just not going to work. We can't do it. It's just impossible. And now all of a sudden there's evidence that it is possible. Is there a fundamental mindset change here that's going to stick around?
I think that at the end of the day, the argument that's coming across is that the last 2 years are a real, you know, experiment in a different way of working. And for the most part, you know, businesses kept going, the work got done. So I think workers are saying that flexibility had a real kind of dry run that for a lot of people proved pretty successful. So now the onus is on businesses to show why there's a real value in coming back to the office, because people have experienced the value of flexibility. Now they want to know what's the value in coming back.
If I can ask you personally, Emma, if you had your druthers, 100% in the office, 100% at home, or a percentage in between, where would you fall?
Oh, God, I can't speak for myself personally because I'm living through it and I'm reporting it. And, you know, my ear is out to all the workers, to the managers, to the executives. I am trying to just collect as many perspectives and experiences as possible.
And what's the big open question for you now, Emma, about remote work in the months and years to come?
The biggest question for me right now is that, you know, the next couple of weeks and months are a real crunch time for RTO. A lot of businesses are counting on having their people back this month, in May, in June. And then I think the big question is, will people come back? Will those seats start to get filled? I was in my office yesterday and it definitely wasn't at full capacity. So I think people are wondering, you know, the RTO plans are in place, but what's there to enforce them? And, you know, what sort of flexibility is going to be there long term? And I think caregivers in particular are wondering that, because for some of them, it's just been a huge boon to be able to have a couple of extra hours with their kids in the afternoon and then maybe tack on some extra work hours in the evening after their kids go to bed. So I think that they're going to be maybe digging in their heels a little bit. And the big open question remains, how hard are employers willing to go at getting people back in the office?
Emma, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us today.
Thanks for having me on.
That's Emma Goldberg, a reporter covering the future of work at the New York Times. She's been reporting on RTO, return to office, people returning to the workplace for those businesses and employees who got used to remote work over the last couple of years.